In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who takes our sin to the cross and returns us to eternal life. Amen. So, the words that you heard read in the epistle lesson, they can be kind of confusing, can't they? Did you find yourself getting a little bit lost in them, you know, when you read them over and over again? But also, did you find yourself relating to them a lot and saying, oh, wait, that's me, you know? That's me. Did you ever ask yourself the question, why did I do that? Or find yourself saying, you know, I shouldn't have done that, but I did it anyway. So there's a story of a guy who came into the ER, and he came in with some pretty severe facial injuries. The ER doctor was just absolutely amazed and astonished at the story that his friend told him because the guy couldn't talk. And this is the way the story goes. It was the 4th of July, and this man was driving through his neighborhood, and he had a cigarette, and he was lighting firecrackers off a cigarette and throwing them out the window. And he was doing that, and he was having a great time, you know, in the neighborhood and all that kind of stuff, till he threw the cigarette out the window and put the firecracker in his mouth. Now, need I say more? Smoking cigarettes and firecrackers is hazardous to your health and to your mouth, okay? He probably asked the question, why did I do that? I knew better. Why did I do that? Maybe he just got caught up in the moment, or who knows what the reason was. Why do I do that? Well, today we're going to confront that. Why do we do the things that we do that we know we shouldn't do? And essentially, what that whole reading says is very simple. The things that I really want to do, the good, I don't do it. And the things that I know I shouldn't do, the bad, that's what I end up doing. And so we get to this point in struggling with it where we have to say these words, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." We struggle, and we struggle in life. And maybe this little video will help us understand the struggle a little bit. Didn't you just want to take it and open that up for them? But you know, the struggle is part of the process, isn't it? The struggle is needed to be able to get out of that egg. And it's a little like us. We're born into this world kicking and screaming, and maybe the doctor has to give us a good tap to get us going. After we have had a really tranquil time for 9 months hanging out at the beach, we come into the world kicking and screaming, and what greets us is a struggle, a constant struggle, especially with sin. But because of sin, we also have a lot of other struggles that we have to deal with in this life. Sin changes everything. And we are, from the moment we are born, constantly conflicted. We just want to do the things that we shouldn't, even though we know we shouldn't do it. So this side of heaven, we are going to struggle with pretty much everything, including sin. Adam and Eve sinned. We know that. And after they sinned, this is what God said to them as he tells them about the struggle that will ensue that will ultimately end in death. He says, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Man, we don't get that. It's called labor. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, here we go, guys. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you. God only gave us one thing to do in the garden. Don't eat of one tree. And they did it, and we do it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Put simply, the easy days for Adam and Eve and the easy days for us are behind us. God placed them into a beautiful world. And their whole world was centered on God and on their relationship with Him and their relationship with each other and the task that God gave them to do to take care of this pristine creation that He handed over to them. And then that world collapsed in sin. And their focus was no longer on God and on each other. It was on themselves. And it was on things like wealth and lust and power and self-centeredness. And we began to relish that which is not good or holy or right, and to relish the sin which had entered into the world. We were enslaved by the chains of sin, and sin was then passed from one human being to the other, even to those of us who sit here today. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And ever since, even the best of us struggle with sin. Even the best of us struggle with sin. Saint Paul tried to do his best, but sin got the best of him. And so he calls himself a wretched man. That's how much it bothered him. I am a poor, wretched man, he says. And ever since the fall into sin, every wretched man, including this wretched man, and those wretched men and women, have struggled with sin. And so the chains of sin are there, and God frees us in that struggle of sin. And what we can learn from St. Paul in this letter is that the struggle is not the end, that there is hope in the struggle. And God allows us sometimes to struggle, even with sin. He doesn't want us to sin, obviously, but He allows us to struggle that we might grow in our faith. You remember Abraham? He had a son after 100 years. And he loved that son, his only son. And God said, I want you to take him up to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice him. Can you imagine that trip? Can you even imagine that trip? And he threw the wood on his back and they went up to Mount Moriah. Isaac did not know what the sacrifice was, but Abraham knew what the sacrifice was. And God let this all play out until he got to the very last moment. You recall that? When Abraham has the knife and he's ready to sacrifice his son. And God says, stop. You don't sacrifice your son. I'll sacrifice my son. And he'll carry his sacrifice on his back through the streets of Jerusalem, the wood of the cross. And upon that wood, nails will pierce his hands and feet, and a spear his side. He'll be beaten and mocked and ridiculed. And God was teaching Abraham about faith, about trust, that God always will have his back. God will never leave him or forsake him in the worst of struggles. As many of you know, I've shared it before, Sue and I had two children who are now with the Lord, Noelle and Seth. And I can remember, especially when Noelle passed away, our daughter, at about 20 months, there were a lot of very well-meaning people who came to us and they said, you know, it was God's will, or something like, well, you'll get over it, it'll be fine. You're going to be okay, you know? And we were devastated, I got to tell you. We were devastated. But we knew the people just didn't know what to do. They wanted desperately to help. They wanted to say something that would make it better. They wanted to do something that would help. But the people who were the most helpful were those who were a quiet presence. And what I mean by that, they were simply saying, we'll pray for you. And they were the ones who were there to just let us spout off or cry on their shoulder or whatever that looked like for us in that moment. And they allowed us to struggle with God and to struggle with the struggle. And at the end of it, we realized that our faith had grown and that we knew, like Abraham, that God had our back. And God was taking care of our children. But it took sometimes a quiet presence to allow us to struggle. And isn't that true in your life sometimes? God just wants us to struggle a little bit in order to get to the other side. The other thing struggle does is it helps us to learn, to grow, to learn what God has to say with us in particular. You remember a guy by the name of Martin Luther? Anybody remember him? Okay. At any rate, Martin Luther was a pretty smart guy. He was a priest of the church. He had a doctorate. He had a PhD. He was a lawyer. He was all these things. A pretty smart guy. And he knew a lot. But he struggled with sin. He struggled greatly with sin. And he did everything that the church of his day told him to do. He tried to be a good person. And he tried to keep the Ten Commandments. He tried to keep the law and all those things. And then he tried indulgences. And he went on pilgrimages. And he did all the things that were going to free him from his sin and from death and the devil and hell itself. In fact, he got to the point where he struggled so mightily that he beat himself until he was bloody and passed out on the floor. In German, it's called Anfechtung. You can't translate the word, by the way. Doesn't it just sound bad? Ew. Anfechtung. It really means spiritual distress or temptation. That's what he was going through. He was going through all of this. And finally, he found a kindred spirit. You know who he found? St. Paul. And he was driven to this very book of Romans, this very book of Romans, where he read those words that we heard earlier. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And here is where he landed. These are the important words, folks. Thanks be to God through who? Come on, you can do better than that. Through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. He found grace. God, through his suffering, had led him to learn about the most important thing that we will ever hear, and that is grace. God may allow us to struggle, even with sin, but he is with us. He was with Abraham, with St. Paul, with Martin Luther, with us. And he promises this in the book of Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. See, our God is with us in Jesus. Jesus knows what the struggle is all about. He knows. He knows what it's like to be born. And I know we sing on Christmas Eve, and it's very sentimental, no crying he makes. I'll bet he's kicked and screamed louder than anybody, because I just can't imagine him coming from heaven, being the Son of God, and entering this world and going, oh my goodness, this is a mess. And he knows what it's like to be tempted in the wilderness, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he's tired, he's at his lowest point physically, mentally, spiritually. And the devil comes at him with everything he's got, and what does Jesus do? He says, this is what the Word of God says, get out of here, Satan. That's what gives us hope in our struggle, because Jesus is there with us. And then, ultimately, on the cross, Jesus knows what death is like in the most fearful of ways that we will never know, because he went there for us, before us. And around him swirled hell itself. There were earthquakes and darkness. He was pierced in his hands and his feet and his side. And finally he said, it is finished, right in the face of the devil. And he declared victory. Jesus knows what it's like to be there in our struggle. And he is there with us from the time we are born until the time God takes us home to be with him. And he reminds us that he is with us. He binds himself to us in holy baptism, even as he bound himself to us in the incarnation, in being born into this world. You get that? That's who our Emmanuel is. Pretty cool, huh? And then when we stumble and fall, because you are going to do it, and I know that because I do it all the time, then he is there to say, as we heard in our confession today, I forgive you. And when we come to the Lord's Supper in the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he says, take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood. Given and shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. See, that's who our God is. And there we find hope. We are free to hope. There is hope in the struggle. God understands our struggle, but he is there with us, forgiving us, strengthening us, teaching us about grace and love and mercy. He is with us to the very end of the age. Beyond the cross is an empty grave. On the cross, the chains were broken, and we were free to rise to eternal life, because that's who our God is. The tomb is empty. The chains are gone. There is life abundant and life eternal for us. The one who knew no sin knows us. And he suffered and died for us. And he is with us in the struggle. And so we come to the end of this series. And we're able, as the people of God, to come here today to celebrate that our chains are gone, completely gone, and rejoice with St. Paul, and rejoice with Abraham and Martin Luther and Christians everywhere. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.